Today on Annenberg Radio News.
That's the beauty of Measure B. It will begin to create jobs right away. There's no need for building up transmission lines in the desert into the city. We can put panels on rooftops here in Los Angeles immediately.
Supporters and critics of solar energy plan Measure B speak out. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Thursday, February 12th. I'm Jonathan Horn. Governor Schwarzenegger and leaders in the state legislature sat down this afternoon to try to reach a budget compromise. The state is $42 billion short of a balanced budget. Democrats have come up with a plan they hope will be voted on this week. The new compromise features a mixture of tax increases and cuts in spending and borrowing. Christy Wolf of State Senator Gilbert Cedillo's office says cutting funding to social programs is not the answer.
It's short-sighted, and we put at risk the future of the state, literally, when we deny students access to higher education, deny health care to potential members of the workforce.
It's unclear if the compromise will have enough support from state Republicans. They mostly favor spending cuts over raising taxes. Tax hikes are already expected in the state sales tax, gas tax, and vehicle registration fees. Schwarzenegger says 10,000 state workers can expect to be laid off if a deal isn't reached by the weekend. Los Angeles is getting a few yards closer to luring back an NFL team. The City of Industries Planning Commission today backed a proposal for a new stadium. If it gets final approval from the City Council on February 26th, the Majestic Real Estate Company says it will break ground as soon as a team commits to playing in LA. Los Angeles is the second largest media market in the country, and it hasn't had an NFL team since 1995. Los Angeles Board of Supervisor Gloria Molina endorsed Nick Patsouris for the upcoming Los Angeles City Controller election. Patsouris is facing Los Angeles City Councilwoman Randy Gruhl in the March 3rd election. They are vying to replace Laura Chick, who has served the maximum term limit. Patsouris is a former Metro board member and has served on the board to oversee construction of Los Angeles County USC Medical Center. Five people are awaiting sentencing after being convicted of sex trafficking and prostitution in Los Angeles. Caitlin Finero has more.
During the six-week trial, tearful victims testified that they were lured from their homes in rural Guatemala into Los Angeles with the promise of jobs as housekeepers and waitresses. Instead, they were forced to work as prostitutes near the MacArthur Park area of L.A. The recent case is putting the spotlight on a bigger problem. Lisette Arsuaga is from the Coalition to Abolish Slavery and Trafficking.
Los Angeles specifically is considered one of the main points of entry. There's estimated anywhere between 17,000 and 50,000 people are brought into the United States every year and trafficked and enslaved.
Four of the defendants, two aunts and two nieces, worked as prostitutes themselves before deciding to lure other women in from Central America. Arsuaga says it's not unusual for the perpetrators in trafficking cases to be women.
In general, I think people are more trusting of women. Women are actually the ones who many times go and ask the victims to participate or come into this country and make the false promises that lure them here under false pretenses. And again, young women and families are more prone to trust a woman than they are a man.
Nine of the victims testified they were beaten and their families threatened with violence if they escaped. All five now face life imprisonment and will be sentenced later this year. Caitlin Finero, Annenberg Radio News.
In response to President Obama's promise to provide affordable public health insurance options, one consumer advocacy group has released a survey finding that 64% of Americans support allowing people of all ages to buy into Medicare. Esther Pomeroy has the story.
Medicare is the nation's largest health insurance program, and it's run by the federal government. The structure of Medicare is similar to private health insurance. Workers pay into Medicare throughout their careers, but don't become eligible for benefits until they are 65. Jerry Flanagan, health care policy director for the consumer advocacy group Consumer Watchdog, says Medicare is more efficient than private insurance.
The private market charges much more for overhead and profit, which doesn't exist in Medicare. So you are cutting out that wasteful spending.
If Medicare becomes an option for workers under 65 years of age, those who opt in will pay more in taxes instead of private insurance premiums. Flanagan says that allowing a wider age range to buy into Medicare will lower the cost for everyone.
in order to have the widest spreading of risk, you want a wide range of age groups buying in, including younger people who don't generally use as much health care. They pay in when they're younger, and when they get older and they need the health care, their payments over time have built up the insurance pool, and then they take that money out.
Private insurance companies are opposed to letting everyone into Medicare, in part, Flanagan says, because insurance companies would need to lower their own costs to remain competitive. Esther Pomeroy, Annenberg Radio News.
The state attorney general is warning California homeowners of a scam by companies offering property tax relief. Private companies pretending to be government agencies send mailers to homeowners offering to reassess their property for hundreds of dollars in fees. Reassessments are offered for free by county tax assessors. Homeowners who believe they're paying too much in property taxes because their home values have dropped should call their local tax assessor for a free reassessment. Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa launched a program today to distribute free energy-efficient bulbs to every household in Los Angeles. Employees of the L.A. Department of Water and Power will go door-to-door handing out compact fluorescent light bulbs known as CFLs.
The Department of Water and Power has been doing its part, and we want Angelenos to do theirs. So we're going to the people.
Villaraigosa is optimistic about the impact this program will have on L.A.'s carbon footprint.
It may not seem like much, but if Angelenos use these light bulbs, we'll save 131,000 metric tons of CO2 emissions, the equivalent of taking 24,000 cars off the road each year.
This is part of the mayor's ongoing mission to improve Los Angeles' sustainability. In 2007, Mayor Villaraigosa unveiled Green LA, which aims to reduce Los Angeles' greenhouse gas emissions. Well, today Angelenos got a one-day reprieve from the wet weather, but that's about as long as it'll last. Temperatures will dip into the low 50s tonight as Southern California braces for more rain tomorrow and a high of 59 degrees. Saturday should be dry again with a high of 61 expected. Today is Abraham Lincoln's birthday. Happy 200th, Honest Abe. We talk to people about the 16th president's legacy. South Los Angeles is getting greener. Harmony Appel tells us how Councilwoman Jan Perry in the 9th District is determined to get more park space.
The winding paths are lined with tall, bushy plants. Kids are skipping rocks across a pond. Patrice Miles says she might never know she was in South Los Angeles.
The beautiful scenery as far as the grass and the trees, this is nice. We need more places like this.
But this is South Los Angeles. It's the Augustus Hawkins Nature Park and Wetlands at Compton and 54th Street. Councilwoman Jan Perry helped to get the wetlands created here and restore the water features and walking paths. She says she's on a mission to create more spaces just like this one.
As many amenities as I can bring to bear as quickly as possible for people to be able to use for themselves and their families, that's what I'm going to keep doing.
In 2001, Perry spent more than $52 million on parks and recreation in her district. A new park near Central and 49th is under construction. Alex Oliveres is playing a game of football with his kids at Augustus Hawkins Nature Park. He says there's a reason it's taken South L.A. so long to get more green space.
A lot of people are scared of South L.A. because of the gang crime. A lot of people really don't pay attention that much to parks no more because they think they're in a danger zone.
For Patrice Miles, the greener changes can't come soon enough.
The other parks that are around here are nothing like this. This is nice and clean, and I mean, the kids are having fun, as opposed to a lot of the other parks that you see where there's a graffiti all over the place and gang members just hanging out.
In addition to the new park under construction, Councilwoman Jan Perry has proposed the South Los Angeles Wetland Park at 54th and Avalon, which would include 9 acres with wetlands and a community center. Harmony Apel, Annenberg Radio News.
In an effort to go green, Los Angeles has introduced Measure B to the voters. Adriana Venegas Chavez tells us how the battle for solar energy has heated up on both sides.
Supporters of Measure B gathered today at City Hall today to speak about the many benefits that it will bring the city of Los Angeles. Measure B will require the Department of Water and Power to invest in solar power. David Allgood from the League of Conservation supports the ballot initiative.
You can put people to work cleaning the environment, providing the energy we need to run our homes and industries, and provide excellent paying jobs to the people of Los Angeles.
Supporters also say it will help clean the air in Los Angeles and have a long-term effect in the water supply of California.
The impacts of climate change are real. What we're talking about is water scarcity within the state of California and moving towards renewables that aren't going to have an impact on climate change are absolutely critical.
The Sierra Club's Bill Cochran says his organization will make sure DWP delivers its promise to the city.
Following the passage of Measure B, our job will be to hold city government accountable and LADWP accountable for installing on schedule the promised solar power and making sure that jobs and job training opportunities are available to underserved communities. We see this, it is essential that a green energy economy is equitable and that it reaches down to folks who need a hand up. And this is an important city program to do that, and we will hold the city accountable for delivering on that promise.
However, not everyone is as hopeful. Ron Kay, with the Saving of Los Angeles program, has heard about the similar plans before, and promises have not been fulfilled.
And they've made these promises before. In 1999, they promised solar energy. They spent $20 million that achieved negligible amounts of energy, and they tried again in 2003 and promised to produce 100 megawatts, and they've produced a negligible amount of energy. Now they're going to promise us 400 megawatts. Their management isn't up to the task. It's too big, too overwhelming, too complex. And then they're going to take on another $3.5 billion solar energy project that they don't even know what it is, have done no analysis of it.
If passed, Measure B could be a windfall to solar companies, but solar panel contractor Fred Cherick isn't supporting Measure B.
The problems that I see with Measure B is, first of all, in general in the solar industry, one of the first problems is that the programs that are out there to encourage the development of solar are generally they're too short-lived, and we're constantly changing them. This applies to the state programs as well as the various municipal utility programs. They're changed way too often, and the industry isn't able to really focus on the right things relative to taking advantage of those because they're changed from time to time and made more complex than they need to be. In general, I mean, so far we've installed very few systems in the city of Los Angeles. I know a report, the last report I saw is dated about a year ago, from LADWP. It shows only about 1,000 systems installed in the city. Originally, when these programs were started around the year 2000, the goal was to have 100,000 solar roofs.
Los Angeles voters will have until March 3rd to learn about Measure B. Adriana Venegas, Annenberg Radio News.
The USC Law Library is commemorating the 200th anniversary of President Abraham Lincoln's birth with a display of artifacts from his lifetime. Earlier today, I toured the exhibit with the Law Library's assistant director, Brian Raphael.
On the walls are some pictures, portraits, and engravings featuring Lincoln, and some with Lincoln and his family, and some other miscellaneous things. We have a letter that Lincoln wrote to a woman who lost 5 sons in the Civil War, and he expressed his condolences to her and appreciation, the fact that they made these sacrifices for the country. We have a text of the Emancipation Proclamation framed, and it's an interesting type of a version of the Emancipation Proclamation. The shading of the words form a picture of Lincoln.
So don't touch, right?
The books that we have in our Lincoln collection are available for anyone to enjoy and look at. The ones that are a little rarer, the older ones, we do require students and other people to have wear gloves when they read the books.
How'd you get them?
Well, we received a donation of the books from the International Trial Lawyers Association. They had this collection. They received a collection from a doctor, actually, who was working with some of the attorneys in the Trial Lawyers Association on some cases as an expert witness, and he was very appreciative of the work of the attorneys in helping him, so he donated the collection to the Trial Lawyers Association. And then the Trial Lawyers Association was moving in 1998, and they were trying to find a home for it. So one of our alumni, James Ackerman, he thought that the law school would be a great place to house the collection, so the library accepted the donation, and we created the room.
It's Lincoln's 200th birthday today. What's the significance of that?
Well, you know, Lincoln was not only a great president, but he was also a great attorney. And so I think it's nice to have a Lincoln room in the law school because it reminds students of Lincoln's work in the law as well as his importance to the nation. And so I think it's always a good reminder for students.
And being attorney translates well to being president?
Well, we've seen that happen many times in our history, so it's not an uncommon scenario.
But what do you think is the biggest thing that sticks out about Lincoln's presidency?
Well, I think it's his patriotism and desire to see the country stay together, you know, and also his belief in the importance of individual rights and his values that he had. And I think those are the values that have inspired many leaders after, including our current president.
That was my next question. I mean, do you see any parallels between those ideals and Barack Obama?
Oh, definitely. I think he's adopted many of Lincoln's values and beliefs about the importance of freedom and importance of human dignity and his sense of patriotism as well.
Do you have any examples that stick out?
Well, I mean, I think the fact that President Obama has looked to Lincoln as a model in helping him to put his transition team together. He's been reading a lot about Lincoln, and I think he's trying to emulate him in many different ways.
Well, how did Lincoln do the transition team?
Well, Lincoln had a longer transition period because he didn't come into office until March, so he had more time. But I think just his reflective qualities. I think Lincoln was a very reflective person, intellectual, and I think Obama has adopted those qualities in putting together his team.
When this room is not having the exhibit, people just read in here, study in here.
But just a casual place for students to relax between classes. We keep current magazines as well as newspapers in the room. And also it sort of makes this room a nice mix between the modern and the old. You have this historical information, and then you have the modern information from the current news sources, so it's a nice blend.
Abraham Lincoln isn't the only one celebrating a bicentennial birthday today. Charles Darwin was also born exactly 200 years ago. The author of The Origins of Species was the first to introduce the idea of natural selection. It's been 150 years since Darwin publicized his thoughts on evolution and natural selection, but his writings are still the centerpiece of discussion. Celebrations are happening today all over England. In fact, anyone who sports a Darwinian big bushy beard, real or fake, gets into the Bristol Zoo for free. Now we check in with Christian Martinez to find out what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. today on Trojan Vision.
Thanks, John. Tonight on Annenberg TV News, we'll tell you why former Clipper Elgin Baylor is suing the NBA and find out why some homeowners in Glendale are a little less nervous. We'll also have an exclusive profile on a USG presidential candidate. Back to you, John.
Thanks, Christian. Well, if you missed any part of today's show, log on to www.annenbergradio.org for news stories and pictures. That's it for this Thursday. We had help today from Ariel Edwards-Levy and Ryan Nunez. Lata Pandya is our producer, and Caitlin Funaro is the executive producer. For all of us at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Jonathan Horn.